Can we turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I wasn't expecting to preach from this passage. I was looking at 2 Corinthians, and the Lord moved on me and said, no, it needs to be different. And then I spoke to Greg in the week, and he confirmed it. I don't know if I realised what he said, but he confirmed that we should look at this particular topic. And the verse that is a centre point of what I think we need to look at this morning is verse 12, which I'll read again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When I first started going to church, it was a nice place to go. It was comfortable, it was pleasant. But when you read all these words, it's all to do with blood and warfare and goodness knows what. It's a totally different picture. Well, this is the question I've got today, is where does this evil come from? I don't think many people are in any doubt that there's evil in the world. I mean, it's easy to see. Who do you believe? What do you believe? We know there's terrible suffering in the Ukraine. There's so much evidence come out of it to demonstrate it. But it isn't all accurate evidence. I saw a picture the other week of body bags with about 60 people lying down, and the caption was, look what the Russians have done here. And then one of them moved, and then another one moved, and then it turned out it was a picture from years ago from somewhere else. This is going on all the time. Nobody knows what to believe. And is that evil? Well, where has it come from? Well, it isn't only that, is it? You can look all around us. What is secure and what is stable today? The energy situation, food situation we're threatened with, the health problem. Apparently there's 5 million people got this, what's it thing? Is it Omicron? And whether that's true, I don't know. And we've got World War III threatening, haven't we? We've got nuclear exchange threatened. It seems as though nobody actually wants peace in Ukraine. When you look at what the Zelensky's doing, but he's part of the cabal that's stirring things up. Where is the peace? Well, there isn't much peace around, except there can be peace in your heart, as we've heard this morning. The world is an evil place, but where does the evil come from? And what are the key things it's talking about here? Because the scripture says you've always got problems in the world. There's always been problems from day one. There's always been persecution of believers. There's always been these issues, and that's going to continue. But unfortunately, when the situation has got to such a stage that believers are not free to speak and to preach the gospel, God is going to take the believers out in the rapture. Are you looking forward to that? And then what's happening to the world? Well, it'll be a lot worse. Look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Luke chapter 21. Start at verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day, which is the evil day, when the Christians are being taken out, it will come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. There will be no escape for anybody who lives on the earth. The only way to escape it is to be up in the rapture with Jesus out the way. It will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And it's going to be a terrible time. A terrible time. You need to trust in Jesus Christ now. Now is the day of salvation. There's no other. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And why is it so difficult to find the truth? Because it says in Scripture that the devil is the father of lies. Well, where does the devil come from and what's he got to do with it? It's all too complicated, isn't it? That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not. Well, what's wrestling if it isn't hard work? It's not going to drop in your lap. It's a matter of wrestling, and there are three categories of people that need to wrestle. If you're not saved this morning, you need to wrestle with it. Because if you don't, you'll ruin the price later. And it's not easy to wrestle with it, is it? First of all, you've got to get your brain around it and understand it. And that's not always a difficult thing. If you're really sincere, seek and ye shall find, knock and it will be opened. There's no problem about that. If you really want to know, you can know. That isn't the difficult bit. The difficult bit is what comes next. 90% of belief in Jesus Christ is logic and reason. The scriptures can prove it. 90%. What's the other 10%? It's the hardest 10%. Because you got to say, I was wrong. God is right. I will yield to it. And I will do what he says. And my life is his. I will give my life to him. And whatever it costs, I will pay the price for it. That's what you've got to do. That is the hardest thing. I was brought up in the church from being a tiny tot. I didn't know what the gospel was till somebody explained it to me. Then I couldn't understand it properly. And I struggled for a few months until I did. And then I thought, I can't cope with this. I've got to give him my life. What will I want to do? But you know, if God's got his hand upon you, he will draw you. It says in the scripture, no man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And the Father will draw. And if that process is going on in your life right now, and the Father is drawing you, don't put it off. You don't want to be too late. You don't want to wait until the time the rapture comes and everybody's gone. You say, oh, what a mess I've made of it. Now is the day of salvation. And you need to wrestle with it. You need to wrestle with the arguments, with the understanding of it, but most of all, you'll have to wrestle with your own pride, or your own difficulty. And that is a problem. So the first category of those who need to wrestle is those who have not come to salvation. Look what it says in Isaiah 14. Let's have a look at, start at verse 13. And this is talking about Satan. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But, says God, you are brought down to Sheol, or the underworld, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out away from your grave like a loathed branch. I mean, can go on and on. The point is that the world is like this because Satan's made it like this. Satan is the god of this world. And he reigns under the glory of the Father, who will only allow him to go so far. And then he will step in. And he's looking now. He's got his eye cast now. We know the end of days is coming very quickly. Now, most Bible scholars will say it starts in, is it the 10th of May, 1948? When Israel was made a nation. Because Israel is God's timepiece. You can look at all the other things in the world. It says in 1 Peter, scoffers are going to come. Well, true, like the scoffers are here. And all things have gone on as they always did. Well, in a measure, that's right. Not entirely. Everything's happening at once today. But Israel's never been back in the land. The end time clock did not start ticking till 1948. And that's quite some years ago now. We don't know when the rapture's going to happen, but we've got a lot of information about the end times. And if other things are going to happen, the rapture must happen before it. So, if you debate him whether to be a believer or not, who are you wrestling with? Are you wrestling with the powers of darkness, with Satan? Look at the power that Satan's got. He's upset the whole apple cart, the whole world. Do you think you can argue with him? Or talk to him, he'll be swamped. All he can do is what God says. Seek me, and I'll reveal myself to you. That is the command to every single man on earth, every single woman. Repent, repent, repent. That's the message of today. Repent and come to the Saviour. There's no other message. And it's a dangerous day in which to live. Very dangerous. Because the whole of life, we're created for eternity. We're not created for this. Praise God. Now, I've been very blessed. I've had a good life. I'm nearly as old as Bev now. over 80. And I look back and I think how God has blessed. Ups and downs, of course. But what a blessing it's been. I can sit and think back sometimes and think, God, look what you did. Now, a lot of people are not in that category. What a privilege that is. So when our lives have been like that, what should we do? Should we not be more generous to others? Should we not be more loving to others? Should we not be more keen to preach the gospel, that they were coming to salvation? There's a whole host of questions coming to your mind. How things can be different. But you're going to wrestle if you're not saved. And if you are saved, you're going to wrestle even more. Now, does that thrill you? Isn't it wonderful? Come to Christ and all your problems are solved. That's when they start. That's when they start. I remember when we started a fellowship in Newcastle. We started with a baker's dozen. It went, 20, 30, 40. and people said, oh, it's been wonderful up to now, but now the problems are starting. Because people are coming. There's always trouble if people are there, isn't there? Have you noticed? What about the fella behind you? That's what life is like. There's always trouble. There's terrible problems in the Christian life. When you first said, where do the problems come from? Oh yes, there'll be a satanic attack, yes. That's why God says, get into fellowship, open this, read it, pray. No shortcut. You can have a temporary shortcut, which is where people go astray. You can feel have a lovely gooey feeling about worship, and isn't it great to be in the presence of God? Well, is it really the presence of God? Is that going to feed you? Is that going to keep you? That's temporary. Find how you feel. You need substance, you need strength and knowledge in the Word of God, so the Holy Spirit can come in and take that Word and make it true in your life. That's what you need. That's what we all need. Until you get there, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems because you didn't deal with something that when you were a child or when you were younger. Now, God miraculously deals with a lot of things when you get saved. Isn't He good? A friend of mine got saved and his wife said, it's funny, he made a decision for Jesus last week. He hadn't sworn since. I said, how did you do that? He said, no, I didn't do anything. I just haven't done it. Sometimes healing comes because of our unregenerate state. When we get saved, the healing comes. There are other ways divine healing comes, but it can that's one of them. There are things we need to cope with, things we need to come to terms with, mistakes we've made, things we need to put right. It's struggle, wrestle all the time. And how do we know what's right? Because it tells us what's right. And when we measure that against our own life, we know we're wrong. And if we've put our pride down and said, you lead me, Lord, and whatever I've got to do, I will do it, then that's fine. But I can absolutely tell you now, you can be a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. If you don't wrestle with this Word, you will not grow. You will not. Everybody needs to understand. Everybody needs to know. You'll be wrestling against spiritual powers in the heavenly place. And you have no innate strength or power to do it. All the strength, all the glory, all the power is in Jesus Christ. Complete. He is absolutely supreme over all His creation. Remember, the devil took Him up onto a pinnacle and said, if you worship Me, you can have all this. Jesus said, no, I'm going to take it anyway. In My time, in My place. That's what He was doing. But what about a believer who's come through this? You've discovered that Jesus is what He says He is. You've discovered that He answers prayer. You discovered that there's something real you'd never seen before. You discovered you've got peace in your heart that you didn't have before, and you found a way out to keep it. Have we made it then? I don't think so. Do you remember Jacob in the book of Genesis? God wanted to use him. So what did he do? Well, he pulled him aside once and he started to talk to him. And it says in the scripture, we won't turn to it, they wrestled all night. Jacob wrestled with God. God didn't overpower him. Took him as far as he could. And at the end of the night, the scripture says, God said to him, well, if you're so insistent, do it your way. And when God said that to him, Jacob said, no, it's got to be your way. Aren't we awkward? All night, wrestling with God. When God wants you to do something, He's going to tell you to do it. But if you're not in the place where you're listening to serve Him, you won't be doing it. You have to wrestle with God to the thing you've got to do, the what He's called you to do. So it doesn't matter what stage of existence we're at. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. We're all in the wrestling ring in one way or another. All of us are absolutely in that place. But why has all this happened anyway? Isn't it a bit of a mystery? I mean, it's one thing to experience all this stuff. And you can say, well, I can see a measure of truth in it, or, you know, I don't now, but I will do. And we can do all of that. But what's it all about anyway? And why is it so important, and where does it come from? Well, in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. Well, everything that God does is perfect. But if you read the next verse, it isn't perfect. Something went wrong. And what went wrong? It's what we read previously in Isaiah 14. Because God said to all the angelic realm that he had created, you've got free choice. Are you going to serve me or are you not? And it appears that one third of the angels said, no, we're not going to serve you. We're serving Satan. So the evil in the world is up there somewhere. We know that there are three heavens in the scriptures. There's a place where God is, the third heaven. There's the atmosphere we can see, which is the first heaven. And the bit between is the second heaven, where all the warfare goes on. And it's a spiritual thing, and we can't get involved in it. And if you do, it can be disastrous, absolutely. God led Daniel to pray about some of these things, that he'd have the knowledge. And God did reveal information to him, and it nearly killed him. Couldn't cope with it. You remember the 21 days? Was it Gabriel said, I came to bring a message, I was stopped, blocked by the powers, spiritual powers over the prince of Persia. There's something going on up there. You know, there's not much in scripture about it. There are not many verses like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, a lot of believers make a living after going further. I'm not saying they're wrong. And the information comes from the book of Enoch, the book of Jasher, and all these extra-biblical things which are not part of the canon. And they come up with some very interesting things. And you can give a lot of time to it if you want, if the Lord's leading you in that direction. But it's all to do with spiritual powers in the heavenly places. And the instructions to us are quite simple. What does it say here? Pray in the Spirit and put on the whole armour of God. That's the bottom line of what we have to do if we're a believer this morning. Never mind all the other stuff. That's the bottom line. So, the world history, we find that there's problems in the heavens, as it were. And there's a rebellion in the heavens. That's a terrible thing. But then God created mankind. And gave mankind the same choice. God says, if you do what I do, it'll be fine. Satan comes in and says, you didn't believe him, did you? So what did they do? They made a mess of it, like we would have done. And then death came into the world. And the spiritual problems that were in the heavens became the spiritual problems that were on earth. Isn't it all a mess? But God has not relinquished control. And the promise of salvation was given in Genesis chapter 3 through the Messiah. And eventually the Messiah came. And we are here. And soon we'll be up there. Because Jesus has all power and authority has been given unto Jesus Christ everywhere. He is King of kings and Lord of lords forever. But the situation in the world is like this. And then after the fall of man, people continued to worship God, but then we have the intervention in Genesis 6 with the fallen angels getting involved in the affairs of men. It's similar to what's going on today, genetic manipulation. The DNA of everyone is being altered through various means. It isn't our more today to go into it, but that's what's happening. That's what happened in Genesis 6. And in the end said, that's enough. And what happened? The flood. Everyone wiped out, except those saved on the ark. So we start again. And it starts off well. And then it deteriorates again. And Nimrod comes on, who was empowered by Satan. And we have the Tower of Babel. And then what does God do? God sees what's going on, because all the world's coming together, And God says, no, you're not. I'm going to separate you. And Acts 17 confirms it. We're all separated into individual nations as God has apportioned it. Well, the globalist movement of today wants to do the opposite and bring us back together. Nimrod is maybe God Apollo, or Apollyon, as it says in the book of the Revelation. All this stuff's in the scripture. It's not new. So we have this situation where God comes down to the Tower of Babel and disperses everything. And the rulership of the world is passed to what are called the lesser gods in Psalm 82. We're all ripe for judgment, actually. So the whole world is under the power of the evil one, but Jesus is still there. Jesus is there. So then what God, he raises up Israel to demonstrate his authority and power. And in many ways that happened. It was wonderful. It did demonstrate the power of God. But then Israel failed. Israel didn't recognize the Messiah. And then we have the mystery church in its place. Israel goes into obscurity, the church comes. Now the church has gone into obscurity, and if anybody thinks it isn't, then you're not looking around very well to see what's going on. It is going into obscurity. And at the time, the rapture comes, and then Israel comes back to the forefront for a short time. And then the tribulation comes, and it's a terrible time of suffering. So this is where it all comes from. This is why God has brought all these things. It says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 4 that Jesus is greater. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And in 1 John, well, let's just have a look at that. 1 John 4, 2 to 3. It said, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, working all this havoc. But there is a figure, the specific figure of the Antichrist coming, as spelled out in the book of the Revelation. All in one man. But the spirit of Antichrist is here now. But Jesus is greater than all of this. And coming back to the issue of wrestling for a minute, there's an issue we need to be very careful of. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 to 19. Jesus says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciple to tell no one that he was a Christ. So the first issue here, of course, is Peter. Now, some have wrongly said that Peter was the foundation of the church. That, when you analyse the text, it's not saying that. It's saying that when you look at the Greek, Jesus is the founder of the church. That's the first thing. But the second thing to emphasise right now is this issue of binding and loosing. Because people have taken this to all sorts of extremes. And you know, there used to be a movement not all that long ago that said we can't evangelize an area till we pray over it and we bind all the spirits before we go in. Well, it's an interesting theory, but where is it in the scripture? Paul never did that. Paul went to Athens and he stood at Midlet Square and preached the gospel. The gospel is a weapon in our hands for pulling down of strongholds. Whether that's a stronghold of unbelief or it's a stronghold in our lives that doesn't let us go, it's all can be pulled down because of the power of God in Jesus Christ. So, what does it mean then? We can't bind the spirits in anybody else or anything else. We can't pray that the spirits over America or over Britain will be bound. We can pray for Britain. Satan comes through that and can speak to you, or his emissary can. Yes, the powers of darkness can come in and affect your thinking. But our weapon is to pray. Pray, pray, pray. And we don't know what's... And it, when we're praying in the Spirit, we don't always know what's going to happen. And we better be ready, because God will sometimes surprise us. And He'll give an answer to, even before you've said the words. God can answer it because He's read your mind. God is quite capable of doing that. But don't let's get ideas above what the Scripture says. We cannot do that. Every single person is responsible for managing their own life in Jesus Christ. And all the authority and all the power has been given to every one of us who claim the claim of Christ. Every single one of us. No one is excluded. No one. But if I want to pray for somebody else, I can ask that God will do it. But if the other person doesn't give him permission, it won't happen. I can pray that my children will be saved. And we do. But if they don't want it, there's nothing I can do. We cannot get involved in things that are not our remit. And people who have done have made a big mess of their lives. I remember not many years ago, there was a big thing. And a little bit of false teaching about this. And some of them were good Bible teachers. They said, you'd have a church service and said, right, who's got problems? Come out to the front, let's pray for you. Well, there's nothing wrong with praying for people if people want to be prayed for. But often it isn't the right venue to do it that way, but that's another matter. But often people said, you've got a demon, it needs to be cast out. And then the next week they'd do it. And they went out the same week, the same person next week. Same person the week after. It becomes a farce. We are responsible. If we have a problem, we have to bring it to the Lord. We have to claim the authority, the power, and the name of Jesus Christ. And it can be dealt with. We might need help praying about it. That's another matter. But the binding and loosing is to do with the doctrinal situation. It's what happened afterwards. You remember the food issue when the net came down for the Apostle Peter and the message was given to him. This is the message. Right, you can eat what you want now. You can have your pork chops and all your seafood and all the stuff. It's all clean. These are the things that's really what it means. We must claim everything that Jesus has for us, but we must not go into excess. And how do we know what's in excess? If we don't read it. We need to be full of what the Scripture says. So, that's where it all came from. That's what's happening. And that's the wrestling that's going on in our lives. But there are some other things that perhaps we need to just remind ourselves about. Because there are two things that's going on. There are things going on in each one of our lives that we have to get to grips with. But there are things going on in the world, and we see it now more than we've ever seen it. As many Bible teachers say, it's a great time to be alive, but it's a dangerous time to be alive. Could be a nuclear exchange next week. Could be. Not saying the world, I have no idea. But there could be. Life is very risky. Life is very dangerous. But when you know Jesus, that's the only way. The only way for peace and security is in Him. Well, this has been going on in history for years. Other people have given lots of information. So let's come to the relatively modern era. What about France in the 1780s? The French Revolution. Have you read about the French Revolution? It was awful. The country was destroyed. Nearly every believer was murdered, except those that managed to run away to London. Was that devilish? Was it demonic? And Napoleon comes to power. And what does Napoleon want to do? He wants to be emperor of the world. Did he see himself as Antichrist? I don't know. I have no idea. But the whole of Europe and the whole of Russia was all together. The only country that was not was the UK. The UK was paying for every other country and keeping the whole ship afloat for years and years and years, until the Russian Tsar changed his mind. And there was a treaty between Britain and Russia, and Napoleon's desires had fallen flat. Couldn't do anything because the Russian Tsar had changed his mind. Russia's always been an issue. Always been an issue. Part of the East-West split that came after the issue of, I can't remember the place now, in Turkey, when the church was divided. Some went to the West, some went to the East. Of course, and Tsar is really Russian for Caesar, isn't it? And then Germany's part of it as well. We've done that all that before. But the issue about the things coming up to recent history, what about World War One and World War Two? Well, I don't know whether you're aware or not, but the whole of the German church, is woke a word we can use? Gone woke? German rationalism, evangelicalism falls off the cliff, scripture reading falls off the cliff. And when it comes to World War Two, the whole thing is couched in occultism. Did you know that? The Vril Society and the Thule Society, they used to meet for seances to take decisions. Now, these decisions were sometimes technical decisions. Where do you think Germany got its information from to build rockets? There's lots of technical things the Germans were very advanced in. Well, who gave them the information? Well, that goes back to the early days in Genesis with the fallen angel. A similar thing happened again. And at the end of the war, another thing happened. Because the Russians and the Americans wanted to take all the German specialists and bring them so they could find out what the process was and what the thinking was. And there was a thing called Operation Paperclip. And they took von Braun and the rocket technology to America, and that's admitted, but they took lots of other things as well. Where did evolution come from? Was it Darwin? Stirred up by Satan? Where did eugenics come from? Did it come from Germany? No, it didn't. It came from Britain and the USA into Germany. And then it came out of Germany again. Is the world evil? My goodness, it's evil. You will not fight it. You cannot escape it. Only Jesus. He's the only Saviour. In any sense of the word that you take it, He is the only Saviour. Jesus, who loves us, who gave His life for us, and loves us to the end. And He will never leave us and never forsake us. That is who our Saviour is. And ever since the end of the Second World War, the deterioration has been massive. Doesn't matter what area of human endeavour you look at. It's disintegration, disintegration, disintegration. The facts are there. Well, that's all right for these major things that are happening around us. But what about our personal freedoms? Well, this is in Ephesians 6 as well, isn't it? Pray and put on the armour of God. Well, why do I need to do that? Why would I need to do that? Because you're under attack. I'm under attack. Nobody is free from this. Unless you switch off completely and you don't want to do anything. Always under attack. Demonic attack. It's a spiritual attack. It can only be handled spiritually. There might be strongholds in your life that need to be pulled down. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's what Paul says. Our ministry is to deal with the pulling down of strongholds that some in somebody's life. Is there an addiction they can't control? Is there some other thing they can't control? What is it? It's the power of Jesus Christ that pulls it all down. Personally, in our lives. Satan can affect our thoughts. That's why we're called to take every thought captive. Satan will put a thought in your mind, bring it straight to the Word, confess it, deal with it, and move and live in Jesus. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, that's wrestling again. More work to do. There's no rest, is there? There is no rest till you get to glory. Then you can put your feet up, I think. I'm hoping so. I might be wrong. But there's no rest here. You've got to wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. It seems the older you get, the worse it gets, doesn't it, Ben? You've other things to cope with you didn't have when you were younger. But there will be a relief. Folks, Jesus is coming. Jesus is the only Saviour. Jesus is wonderful. But there's a judgment coming. And now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. And we need to take account of it. And we'll finish as I just read some words from Revelation chapter 22. From verse 12. It says, behold, I am coming soon. Well, what does soon mean? It really means quickly. And the word quickly means that once the end time started, there'll be as little delay as possible until it happens. Remember, in the divine economy, a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. So Jesus saying to the believers, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who have washed their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Because outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Strong stuff. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. He is coming soon. I believe he's coming soon. Do you believe he's coming soon?
Amen.
Then decide for him, live for him, and love him for his name's sake. Amen.